news, new hosts, new realities, true conversations, trustworthy ideas, shared passionately on your number one talk station of the nation. Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja. Let's talk.
Okay, so we are here to say our goodbyes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us. Let's just take this last few messages. Good afternoon, Swat and, okay, Mama Swat and Auntie Debbie. How have you all been? Welcome back, Auntie Debbie. Thank God for speedy recovery, Swat. I love Eagles for their vision, focus, and tenacity. Lions for their bravery and ferociousness, yet can be friendly when right. Horses for their endurance, stability. Love you guys. Eagle's eyes from Petan Bay. Thank you. Okay, that's interesting one.
Okay, dogs are security and protect the owner and the family. If you give the dogs attention, they like taking care, good care of them, and bathing them, feeding them very well, let their house look very clean and vaccinated, especially the foreign or crossbreed. You made a lot of money from them. Okay, they give birth up to 12, and it's
speaking from the business perspective.
What is Igede from Maraba?
Okay, same way you ate snake was how I tasted that dog for the first time and felt horrible, but went on to consciously eat some more after some years. How come no one loves the bats and frogs? Amude promise listening from Canada. Nice celebration, guys. Are you kidding me?
All right,
frogs and no. Oh, thank you very much.
Talking bats. About bats.
You should talk Omicron, to Fortune about that. He will give you his experience with eating bats. All right. So we'll come back tomorrow. Make it a day with us at 12 o'clock. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Swat.
And I'm Debbie.
Oh, just tour.
Assembly Pano alleges fraud by 65 dredging firms in Lagos.
We inform.
Nigeria's compliance with the oil production cut will lead to deeper economic contraction and fiscal deficit.
So you assume that it is preaching to tell somebody evil is evil and good is good.
Okay, sorry for using that word.
No.
Tune in every weekday and weekends for the best radio experience. Right here on your number one station for talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
The facts are glaring. It's point blank.
It's better to have little than the blessings of God than to have much more than there's no blessings of God.
But people need to see, know, and hear.
When you return that money, you hear the message.
Whatever is not yours, even if you kill yourself, it cannot come. That's my opinion.
So do share the facts on Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts. With Kimberly, 3 to 6 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Of December, we're counting down to Christmas. You know, I was coming to work and I heard Adewumi already plotting against me, saying I should do giveaway. If I decide to give giveaway of what you suggested, Adewumi Daniel, 1,000 naira to every one single person who calls on my birthday, which is not today, by the way, well, you think the FCC will not call me like, hi babes, what's going on? Okay, because, you know, it's, you know, when they say love letter, FCC will have to come in that fashion. A giveaway to every single person who calls in on a day of my birthday. Come on, Adewumi. Have a heart. Have conscience, my brother. All right, people. Welcome to Hard Facts. I'm sure you had a fabulous time with the Vocal Majesty, Swat, and Debbie on the Sunnyside Show. And Fortune was on what's happening in Abuja and all of the plans you guys are cooking up to have a party, just the what's happening Abuja people and the clean up Abuja people. I heard, and I was thinking, when did we start behaving like this in Nigeria Info, to have side parties? But it's all good. If you go ahead with it, I will get crushed, invited or not, I will be there, because I'll be around for Christmas anyway. And then the Morning Crossfire Show with Femi D Live himself, the one and only. My name is Kimberly Wanchuk, if you're wondering. You can call me Kim. Sayo calls me the Oracle. You can go with that. I'll be here till 7 p.m. And once I'm done, the A-team will take over from 7 to 10. And then a very delectable Black Coffee will take over from 10 to 1 p.m. on the talk night with Black Coffee. On the show, we'll start off with the roundtable, as usual, looking at some of the big stories driving conversation in Nigeria. And we're meant to look at universal health coverage with some guests, but I don't know, the message I'm receiving doesn't look like it. If they don't make it at the 4 o'clock hour, we know that conversation is not happening. Another conversation build-up for the show today. My guest is here. Daniel Jaja is with me in the studio. I was asking what the plan for Christmas is. He said, we did here.
Good afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I mean, with all the Christmas songs we've been playing and all over the place, the decals have started coming up. It just shows that we're almost there. And, you know, I heard a colleague receive a call, and then someone from the other end of the phone said, that chicken don't run. I said, which chicken? The big one. The one we put for Christmas. I thought it was a joke, but for real, someone's Christmas chicken is missing. Okay. So Daniel and I, we go through some of the big stories driving conversation. We hear that the UK has recorded the first Omicron-related death for COVID-19. And we also know that the imposed travel ban on some countries, which include Nigeria, is reported that the United Kingdom will scrap the travel red list sometime this week. According to Daily Mail, Grant Shapps, the UK Transport Secretary, convinced the government that the red list should be replaced with testing for the fully vaccinated, and the move is expected to be approved this week. On Wednesday, COVID briefing, Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, also promised to re-examine the policy amid claim it was unfair and ineffective. The South African National Institute for Communicable Disease on the 25th of December announced the detection of 22 positive cases of the new Omicron variant, and since then we've seen the spiral effect of that announcement there. Our Minister of Aviation, Hadi Siriki, on Sunday said it was to, I mean, we've seen us reciprocate some of the moves of some of the countries that have imposed ban on us, like the UK, Canada, Saudi Arabia. They said by Tuesday, we're going to reciprocate. If you restrict our flight and our people, we're going to do exactly the same. I mean, we saw a classic example with Airpeace and not aligning the frequency Airpeace wanted and how the government reciprocated. Some people seem to think it was hasty of us, but I think we're just trying to send a message that we too can, we can write back and give you as you give it to us. I think you don't quite agree with that. But yeah, if the UK re-look at this, we might consider that even though we had the government saying no, we're also going to thoroughly scrutinize, because they're recording a lot of deaths in the UK tied to this Omicron variant. So even if they review theirs, we still have to look at ours and see. Because our COVID number is increasing. I mean, I just saw the one within 1 week. How did we get that sudden jump? 300 and something something. I need to get the exact figure out. And I was thinking, we're getting 7 and 5. How is it that the number is increasing exponentially?
Well, from all we know so far, and there's still about, hopefully about a week, not more, to go before we actually have more concrete descriptions of what Omicron actually does. What we know so far, based on scientific studies and research, is that it spreads much faster than previous variants. I mean, we've had like 10, 12 variants before it, but Omicron seems to be the fastest spreading amongst all of them. So, yeah, when there's what we call pandemic fatigue, when we look at the fact that we have been dealing with this coronavirus pandemic for about 2 years now, we have to simply realize that the same mistakes that were made in the beginning when nobody was tired of it are the mistakes people are making now that they are tired of it. And it pains me because we unfortunately happen to live in a gullible society, a society that does not necessarily always align itself with what scientific research and evidence shows. That is, it's not only us. There are some European nationals and Americans and all whatnot, so-called anti-vaxxers, who simply stand against what all the science tells us for their own personal reasons or mistrust. The problem therewith being that because people did not agree, or the number of people that refused to get vaccinated remained high where they had the opportunity, and some people, like us here in Nigeria, not everyone had the chance to get vaccinated. But the reality of the matter with the coronavirus is that because they are unvaccinated people who can get infected, each and every one of them poses a potential chance for that virus to mutate and therewith make the vaccine less effective. So the fact that Omicron is spreading quickly by over 300% is not surprisable, because when we look at society in Nigeria, I'm not at all sure or aware of what percentage of our population actually got vaccinated, got their two shots where they were necessary.
Sure, so just recently 1 million expired on us, so we're not getting it fast enough, apparently.
Yes, and 1 million shots, that's enough for 500,000 people, which at the end of the day is, I think, like 0.25% or so of our population. But I doubt that our actual vaccination rate is anything far above 15, 16, 20%. Which means that the vast majority of Nigerians still remains unvaccinated, and that is a feeding ground for the coronavirus. So we need to understand that Omicron is a new variant. It spreads much faster than previous variants, and much easier, apparently. And we do not even know, as at now, what the effect is, as in how bad is it? How bad will it be for those who catch corona in this form and then have to go through the symptoms and the sickness? So we need to just understand that we can't hide from this. You cannot run from this. It's a global problem. It's a pandemic. It goes around the world. And every form of pandemic fatigue, everybody who says, at the end of the day, I don't need to wear my mask now, is not. No, you're providing an opportunity for the virus to spread, for the virus to mutate, to continue living with us. I mean, we're going to have to live with it. Let's just face facts. We're going to have to live with COVID for the next few years, maybe for the next decade, maybe for the next two. And that all, it all simply depends on the readiness of each and every individual to do something about it. Some countries manage to get rid of cholera. Some countries manage to get rid of tuberculosis. Some countries manage to get rid of polio. All these things were done via vaccines. So the only solution right now that we have, scientists have researched, they have produced these vaccines, they have been tested. And this is no more, we're no more talking of a test mass or volume of people of maybe 10,000 or 100,000. No, millions of people around the world have taken this vaccine. And for all of them, it has obviously helped, because right now, for countries that are more detailed with their statistics, they've all come to see that if you have 100 patients suffering from coronavirus right now, 99 of them are unvaccinated. There is that 1%, or it's actually less than 1% of vaccinated people that still get COVID. And when they get COVID, the symptoms are so slim, some of them do not even notice that they've caught the virus, because their immune system combats it, suppresses it, deals with it on its own. But all those who are unvaccinated are continuously putting their lives at risk, continuously giving the virus an opportunity to pick a new host, mutate a little bit, and become worse again. So we need to wash our hands, use our hand sanitizer, wear our masks, socially distance, keep our rooms well ventilated. And until everybody actually does that, this problem is going to stay with us.
They say we are as weak as our weakest link. Even those following the UK and getting not a lot of it, but a handful of reports of people who have gotten even down to the second jab and still dying from this. It's weird, this virus, like you said.
No, I wouldn't say so. I think there's a mistake a lot of people make. Now, before coronavirus came, people were dying.
True that.
So there will still be people who have been vaccinated who will die.
True.
But we need to be scientific in this matter and look at it and understand that from all the indications we have and all the empirical data we have, everybody who has been vaccinated has a significantly higher chance of, first and foremost, not catching coronavirus. And secondly, if they catch the whole coronavirus, then their chances of getting through it without complications, without needing a ventilator, are also very, very high. There are always a few breakthrough cases. We cannot deny that. But we shouldn't now say that just because of that one in a million people where it didn't work as planned, that's no justification to say, hey, 999,999
people.
They are wrong. It's this one person that I'm going to look at.
Okay. All right. So you're still reminded, please wear your face masks, use your hand sanitizer, wash your hands as possible. And if you don't have to be in a dense crowd, you do not have to be there. The numbers are going up, honestly. COVID-19 infection has risen by 326.67% in 1 week. They say Nigerians are shunning safety rules. We're seeing moves made by other countries. Even Ghana is saying you need two jabs of the vaccine to even come to our door, meaning if you're not vaccinated, you're can stay back in your country. So you never can tell the new policies countries will introduce to manage the situation in their own home fronts. Let's look at another story here quickly. And this one is particularly interesting because it's not the only time we get response about editorial reading in papers by the presidency. But, you know, the insecurity in Nigeria has become much of a concern to every single person. And the government is, I want to believe, very concerned about it. We've seen marching orders to setting head of security to just go here, find out what is going on. When the president says, go there, tell me what really is going on. Get recommendations coming from that. And it's been known to send people all over the place. It just feels like you're tackling one end and then another end opens up with more challenge and all of that. But this was an editorial reading in the Daily Trust paper where the presidency had to respond to it, where they say that life has lost its value under President Buhari, the title of the editorial. The president has described as lurid political journalism. The editorial in the Daily Trust paper criticizing the administration's handling of Nigerian security situation. Daily Trust is one of the widely read newspapers in Nigeria. The Sunday editorial titled Life Has Lost Its Value Under Buhari's Nigeria. The paper, which has, it says, welcome to Northern Nigeria, Sika 2021, where life has seemingly lost its value under a president voted en masse 5 times by the same populace, the newspaper wrote. Reports say that killings of people weekly by non-state actors across the country has increased. At least 63 people were killed last week, most of them in Northern Nigeria. The paper resorted to reporting that also. And in its response to the Daily Trust Sunday night, the president's office listed the government's effort to tackle the security situation. Second, alongside military force, this government is seeking to address the violence at its economic source. Garba Shehu, the spokesperson to the president, wrote, although the president office admitted the seriousness of the growing instability and violence in the northern part of Nigeria, it still criticized the paper's editorial, describing it as lurid political journalism. Now is not the time for this sort of lurid political journalism, he wrote. Now our focus as Nigerians must be coming together, ending the violence, he wrote. I mean, it's a long read. I just gave a quick summary of it. You can check out the paper for the response to that also. But he's saying, come on guys, we're neck deep in the insecurity. This is where we need to come together. Don't write it out in your papers. That's lurid political journalism. We acknowledge that we have a problem on our hand. This is what we're doing beyond the military interventions. We're getting to the root cause, which some people have attributed to economic root cause. I mean, if you're looking at the unemployed young people we have in the country, large and in between, who is the capital of poverty? I mean, the poverty capital of the world. Nigeria still sits pretty as number one. So all of these are just giving room for these to fester and crime to proliferate in the country. Lurid political journalism or not, I mean, sometimes the truth is always bitter to take in. Yeah. But what do you make of it? It does have a point about coming together to proper solution, though.
He may have a point with that. And there's a reason why I choose that frame of
the
words.
May?
Yes.
Okay, just to give you a quick warning, 1 minute time, we'll go on a quick break and then we'll continue from there.
Okay, then maybe we should do that after the break.
All right.
When I start, I can finish my thoughts.
I feel like you need to maintain a certain tempo to discuss this particular one. So let's go on a very quick break. And when we come back, we'll get Jaja's take on that. Remember, you can be a part of the roundtable. All you need to do is tweet. Twitter is still banned. You send it via WhatsApp to 0809-993-0137. And then much later, we'll open up the phone lines, 0700-951-0000, to get your take. Big question, why is Twitter still banned? I thought we were making headway with them already. But it's all good. We have bigger fish to fry.
You can get it all trending.
People are dropping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destruction.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk.
This is Nigeria Info.
Nice info.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I have Daniel Jaja with me, and the roundtable is on. We started a conversation looking at COVID, It's increased by 326 point something percent in Nigeria, so be careful. And then the response of the presidency to life has lost its value under Nigeria editorial piece, saying it's just lurid political journalism. Daniel?
Well, I'm going to make myself some enemies, but...
try not to.
I try not to, and I hope it doesn't happen. But you see, for me, I want to address something that also reflects on something you mentioned earlier in the first story concerning the reciprocity of travel bans and everything. Now, when I hear that, okay, because the UK banned people from Nigeria going to the UK, therefore we as Nigerian government or Nigerian people will ban people from the UK coming to Nigeria. Hello. If first and foremost, if you are a Christian at heart, that's you preaching the Old Testament, an eye for an eye. Mm. If you're not a Christian and you have other religious beliefs, then you're just being childish by saying, you did me, so I will do you back. And that is not what we need as leadership in a nation. That is, pardon my French, childish. It's immature. The same thing with what you just mentioned now. We live in a democracy. Our freedom of speech is something that is enshrined in our constitution. Now, I don't see why we find ourselves in this situation where very often journalists express themselves and then they get a knock on the head from the federal government that wants to silence voices of criticism. I will remind everybody here that it is generally accepted or assumed that a free press is the third tier, the fourth tier of power in a democracy. It holds those in power to account. It speaks the mind of the people. It speaks the mind of individuals who are not in political office most of the times. And that is a freedom that is guaranteed by the Constitution. So now the federal government is asking or attacking journalists for speaking what their mind on saying what, whether the government and the officials or politicians like it or not. The overwhelming majority of Nigerians feel the way that person, that author, expressed himself in that editorial. That's the simple truth. Whether it is the situation on ground is a different matter. That's a different discussion for another day. But the majority of the population feels that life has lost its value under this administration, based on certain episodes that have happened in the course of this administration, based on the figures that we cannot deny of the increase in violence, increase in banditry, increase in insecurity. And at some point in time, and this is where I said I'm going to make myself some enemies, we need to grow up. We need to have people leading us who can act like mature adults. One thing a psychologist will tell you is if you have a problem, the first step to solving your problem is accepting that you have a problem. So when someone comes out and publishes an editorial and says life has lost its value under this administration, it is not for the administration to come and ridicule that kind of talk. Because if life has not lost value, as far as everybody is concerned, then there will be obvious, why would we be feeling so? Why would we be saying so? And what have you done to show us that it is not so? Instead of showing the general population of Nigeria that life has a value, I'm sorry to say, but over the last few years, at every opportunity or circumstance which has presented itself for that kind of gesture to show that, look, we value each and every Nigerian life, I am sorry, but from my perspective, this administration has failed to get that message across to the people. It's a communication issue. So now, here we see it again. Somebody is raising his hand, basically, and saying, now, look, this is how we feel. We feel like life has lost all its value in Nigeria. And the government is, instead of countering that with facts, going, I think the expression is ad hominem, attacking the source, trying to sort of silence or attack the messenger. But that's all this is. And it's an old known rule from thousands of years ago, you don't kill the messenger. The messenger is only delivering a message. And you need to receive that message and then deal with the intent, with the content of the message, and act accordingly. So the federal government is now saying this is not the time for this kind of talk. Well, when has it ever been the time for this kind of talk? If you are an adult and mature, when you make a mistake and you are criticized based on the mistake you have made, you should be objective enough to recognize and accept the mistake you have made, acknowledge your mistake, And then nobody is perfect. You can make mistakes. So accept that you've made a mistake. Think about what you could have done better and how you can do better in the future. Say you're sorry and then do better. That's the way it works. But somehow I have this feeling that the moment anybody criticizes the government or says that you've got this wrong, the next thing we hear is, you have to keep quiet. Mm. Don't talk like that. No, we don't want to hear it. We don't like you using this term for us. We don't, like, that's childish. I'm sorry. If the content of the message becomes less important than the form of conveyance, then we have a serious problem. And that is what I see here. This is an editorial that is basically telling, or supposed to tell, the federal government, this is how very many Nigerians feel. This is the impression we have received over the past few years based on actions that have been taken by the federal government or lack thereof. And it is not for anybody in government to now come and say, no, you shouldn't be talking like that. What happened to freedom of speech? My father used to say something when he was still alive. He taught me something. He said, look, it is your friend who will tell you. When you go out in public, your friend will call you and say, guy, your face is dirty. Now, he's not doing that to make you feel bad. And the worst thing you can do is, why would you say such a thing to me? Why are you trying to insult me? You need to recognize at that point in time that your friend is trying to save you from embarrassment by everybody else.
Just in case it's everyone knows this. We all see it. We know it. The world knows this.
Yes.
You don't need to write an article about
it. We see it. We know it. No, but you see, there's a difference between knowing something or seeing something and actually accepting it. Mm. Because if you accept that there's an issue, then you will do something to solve the problem. But we have seen, from my perspective, a very lethargic response to many problems. Many problems which I, amongst many other people, would say did not even have to arrive in the first place if the right steps had been taken. But we don't see proactivity. We always see reaction.
But let's also look at, I mean, he was stating in his response to the mm-hmm. Life Lost Value article that, you know, we're doing so much. If you read the article, it just seemed like, okay, we're trying to articulate all the efforts made by the government, from the military to the economic interventions, but the cases are still pretty bad. I mean, if I go through some of the reports we have from last week,
mm-hmm.
you would lose appetite for lunch. That's how bad. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's how fleeting life has gotten in Nigeria, to the point where you could just be in a bus, you could be in a marketplace,
yes.
you could just be sleeping at home.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people who died that way
mm-hmm.
in this country.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's worrying enough. But they're saying, okay, we've done this military. We're looking at the economic aspect, even though if it's not properly spelled out
mm-hmm.
what that program is, what that design, I mean, sold to Nigerians to appreciate this extra effort being made. It just seemed like it's a monologue. You're talking with yourself. You're not dialoguing with us. You're not listening to us. You're not carrying us along.
Mm-hmm.
You just expect us to know that you're doing all within your capacity. And from the perspective of Nigerians, it just feels like you're not doing enough.
Okay, let me draw a scenario where, let's leave Nigeria, first of all, let's just take Nigeria out of the equation, let's take government out of the equation, let's look at something completely different. Let's look at something in the private sector, public life, or private life, if you so wish. So let's say you have a relative who is ill, and it's actually an illness which is commonly known. I mean, it's something that every hospital can deal with.
Yeah.
And you take your relative to a hospital, and you pay for all the bills, you pay for all the treatment, and the doctor continues telling you, okay, we need to administer these drugs, this is what they're going to cost, and you pay for them, but the patient isn't getting better. Now, your relative has been in hospital for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, their situation hasn't gotten better. Actually, it's gotten worse. Upon all the money you're spending, upon all the drugs you are paying for, upon all the effort you are making, and then you look at the doctor and say, doctor, what you are doing is not working. And the doctor looks at you and says, yeah, but I mean, come on, we are trying. We are putting in a lot of effort. And you're like, no, I know that this is a common disease. It's not my relative that is the first person to get this illness. And a lot of people have been treated easily for these things, and they've recovered, and they've gotten healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, my relative has been here for 3 weeks, and the situation is getting worse. Doctor, you are killing my relative. And the doctor says, don't say it like that now. I mean, I'm trying my best. Would you accept that, or would you say, I want another doctor to attend to my relative?
I would want a second opinion.
You would want a second opinion. So here we have our federal government now telling us that, hey, we've been making an effort. We are saying our patient is dying. the nation that is Nigeria is in distress. And here are people who are concerned with the future of Nigeria saying, doctor, please, oh, everything you are doing is not working. The situation is getting worse. The patient is getting worse. And the doctor literally is saying, yeah, but come on, I mean, we've been trying, and you cannot deny that we've been trying. What you have been trying that has been ineffective at the end of the day, because if what you were trying or doing was effective, then the situation would improve, would it not?
Yeah.
But the situation has not improved. Instead, it's gotten worse. So why is the doctor now telling everybody we shouldn't complain that the patient is dying, because after all, he has put in so much effort to save the patient's life? The effort that was put in, it pains me to say this, but it may simply mean that that was the wrong effort. It may simply mean that the drugs that the medicine that was prescribed, mm-hmm, was the wrong medicine for this treatment, but the family has still paid the bill for the treatment, and the patient is getting worse, and the doctor is saying, but I've tried. No, doctor, your job is to treat that patient. Your job is to save that patient's life. And if the patient is getting worse, then the relatives and stakeholders and people who are interested in the well-being of that patient have every right to say, doctor, what you're doing is not working. Mm. And it is not the doctor's place to then say, yeah, but look at everything I have tried. If what you have tried has been ineffective, and if what you have tried has not brought the desired results, then why are you pointing it out to us that, hey, but look at everything I have done. The result at the end of the day has been negative. So this is again where maturity comes in.
Performance is actually in the result.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Performance is actually in the result. And Kim, we have seen this my whole life. I have seen this. There's a lot of noise. A lot of money is released. A lot of funds are released. But we keep on sitting and waiting, looking. Where's the effect? Where's the effect for the common man? Where's the effect for Nigeria? At the end of the day, we all see and we all know that even up until today, even in this anti-graft administration, we all still have the feeling, at least, that out of any funds released, it's maybe 10% that gets to its actual purpose, because 90% is shaved off on its way there.
We don't know that
100%. We don't know that. We feel that way.
We know we have a corruption problem, but yes, we can't say 90% disappears.
No, I say we feel that way. I don't know it. I don't know it, but we feel that way. And then when we now say, when the federal government now says, this is the time for us to come together. The time for us to come together was long ago. It was actually even long before this administration. And this administration has now been in power for the past 6 years thereabouts. So it's a shame that they went on in a, not even in the same manner as the previous administration when it came to communicating and interacting with the general population. But to say that this is the time for us to come together, when for years people have been saying, let us come together, let us come together, and those words have fallen on deaf ears. Mm. Now, to protect yourself and not take responsibility for your failures, you're saying, no, this is not what we should be doing. What should we be doing is coming together. Well, where was the idea of coming together when people were talking about state police?
Yeah.
Where was that? Because that would have definitely tackled this security issue in a different manner. It's open to see how effective it would have been. But at least it was an option, and an option that when we look around the world is seen to have worked in the majority of places and improved security. So why didn't we do that? Why do we still have... We have a structure in our administration for this country where everything is centralized. Mm. But when things go wrong, the center does not want to take responsibility. When things go wrong, the federal government says, yeah, but come on, you cannot blame us. Yes, we can, because you hold all the power. And with great power comes great responsibility. So if a state governor cannot set up a state police force or a state security force to protect his state and the inhabitants thereof, even though by our constitution he's the custodian of said state and prime security officer, if he is dependent on the federal government releasing troops to him and releasing funds and releasing materials and weapons to him to provide that security, if that security is provided, who do you blame? Whose fault is it? Mm. It is right. That place where the shots are called and where the power sits. And at the end of the day, all that office needs to do, all the administration needs to do is accept that reality.
Mm.
When things go wrong and you are in charge, then you are to blame. You cannot say, I am in charge, I hold all the power, you want to build this road. No, you cannot build the road. It's a federal government road. When cars are breaking down on that road, it is your fault. It's as simple as that. So if there's insecurity and people are saying, look, let me handle the security issue, give me what I need to handle the security issue. No, we think you should handle it differently. We will provide what we find appropriate. We will do it the way we think is going to work. Oh, it didn't work out, but it's not our fault now. No, it doesn't work that way.
The forests are under your purview.
Exactly. So
deal with the forest situation.
Thank you. If you take the power, then it comes with responsibility. Accept the responsibility and act accordingly.
All right. We have so many comments, calls coming in. One more story to look at, but let's open up. It's a round table. Let's hear your input on the two stories we've looked at. If we have time, we'll look at a third one. Call 0700-951-0000. Please don't exceed a minute. Just go straight to the point. Make your contribution. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon.
This is Ola calling from Garissa.
Go ahead, Ola. 1 minute, please.
The issue of insecurity in this country. You see, the whole world now turned to technology. People are not using digital anymore. You see, the issue of insecurity, just simple. If they can be able to, they can find this. Fund them very well to find the weapon. Yeah, the weapon they are going to use to face those bandits and some other. And then you see those police and the other security agencies, they need the money. Yeah, they are not well taken care of. All of them, they are not have a full mind to face those people. Because of what they will, if anything happened to them, there is nobody taking care of them. It's what is happening now in this country. And this of insecurity now is they have to pay the full attention. More attention on this insecurity in this country. Let us turn them. Provide what they need. Provide it for them. Some of them, they are suffering. Some of them, they are not taken care of by the government.
All right,
that's
sir.
My own point.
Thank you very, very much, Olan. Thanks for speaking to the clock. 1 minute tops.
Hello, good day. My name is GB.
Go ahead, GB.
Good afternoon to your guests here.
Good afternoon.
For the past 3 or 4 months up to this time, I have not had any analyst or caller, anybody, calling for the retirement or changing of the service chief. The service chief either performance judged by the duration of time they spent on that position or by the outcome of their activities. You have never had anybody, even on radio, nationally, nobody has said, service chief, boy, where you have not performed, I've given you enough 6 months, you have not done anything. I mean, so that means that all the service chief are sentimental because they don't want them to go. I'm not pro service chief staying longer than their tenure, but I've not heard it that service chief should go. All I'm hearing is the president should go. If they may go now and this issue continue, the military should come in. That will be coming again. The man own is that, look, this issue of insecurity is for everybody to fight. Look at what happened in Southwest.
Right,
when they had the issue, it's all about Motekun, and they were able to start the TSU.
Thank you very much, Genga. 1 minute, 10 seconds. 1 minute only. Go straight to your point. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes, you're welcome.
I want to appreciate our guest this afternoon. My name is Halasi. What this government hate is that for them to be criticized. And it's not that they are condemning them. They want them to, to do the needful, to protest. Look at how insecurity is worsening. What happened in Burkina Faso? The Prime Minister of Burkina Faso had to, because of insecurity. He said the people of Burkina Faso have failed. I couldn't do what I supposed to do. And the Prime Minister honorably resigned the first time in Africa. What time that happened in our country? Some people need to resign in order for security to be improved. Thank you and God bless Nigeria.
All right, thank you very much. Let's move on to the next caller. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Sentrafe.
Go ahead, Sentrafe. 1 minute, please.
When you look at somebody who is serious to give good governance, you will know. When the United Arab something gave report of sponsors of terrorists, I tapped my friend. I said, this report they gave now, let's see how Nigeria government will respond. They have done their work. Let's see how we will handle it here. Before you know it, our Minister of Communication said there are some 400 people they will prosecute. Up till now, which court did they prosecute them? Food. We go belefuma.
All right, Senator. Thank you very much. Let's hear another caller.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Yes. About the incident, my name is Chester Mann.
Okay.
Yes. On the same issue we're talking about, I think the best way to tackle this inequality is equity. Nigerians are hungry. It is interesting to know that one day I took a bike, and the bike man was telling me that for the third time, they have taken his bike. That this bike he's driving now is taking for him that he brought Boko Haram. Imagine such a comment. So Nigerians are suffering, and the highest security is to make Nigeria stop suffering, and everybody will be happy. So if they like, they should send any kind of ammunition and give to the soldiers and the police. It might not solve the matter. The main issue that they should remember before. The poor masses are suffering, and that is my case.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my sister. Yeah, we have to go to the point street. The boys that are in
what's
the
your name, sir? Fund,
yeah, the people who are tackling the authority. What they say they should give to them is about 40,000. And they give them 15,000. Where is the balance of that 35,000? And those boys are dying daily.
What are you talking about, sir? First, what's your name and what's 40,000 and balance 15,000?
Tolu, okay, my name. Yeah.
Okay, you didn't expand on that anyway. Is this some sort of allowance or leave? Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome to the round table.
Yeah, this is Ola calling from Asokoro.
We're listening.
Yeah, well done to our guest. When you talk about the writer saying life has lost its value. You know, just take for example of this issue of COVID going on in the country when they say the so UK banned Nigeria. You see, when a leader cares about his citizen, no matter how poor it is, you know, that shows you the effect. You know, we keep talking about this issue of insecurity. You know, when I talk anything bad about this government, I say something rubbish on this radio, you will see the way they will begin to attack this radio station. But when you say something like give an advice to this government, they'll begin to attack you. That tells you the kind of leadership that we have. The leadership that doesn't want to listen. The leadership that believes
all right,
is perfect in what he's doing.
Thank you very much, Ola. Let's take the last caller. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tim. Yeah, my name is Kedi.
Go ahead, 1 minute.
Hello, Kedi.
Go ahead, your time is ticking, Kedi.
Hello?
All right, obviously, Kedi cannot hear, so let's hear another caller. Huh? Hello? Hello? Okay, let's look at messages. And give our guest time to respond. From Shagun says, South African president took the jab, got vaccinated more than one time to prevent him from COVID-19, yet he contracted the virus again. And let's see here. On Omicron, another news that is trending is that South African president, even though fully vaccinated, is now down with COVID. Same Ramaphosa that the president invited to Nigeria at the time when the whole world was being careful with all places that have the new strain. With this news, I doubt if any country will be quick to remove the country from the list of concerns, says Bucci from Duse, even from what I guess said and what has been said over time. The fact that you took the vaccine does not mean you can't have COVID. It just means you won't be severely sick from it. You understand? So, Kim and the guests, good afternoon. The symptoms of all the variants are the same. Are they the same? May God bring to an end this insecurity, says Hafsat. We say amen to your prayer. Talking about Omicron, does it mean that those who took the jab will get another one? Kanglo from Zuru, Kebbi State. Well, I hear approval for the third booster jab is on. the kingdom out to see all mankind are in trouble and confusion, but by joy that the Creator is with us. Clement from Maitama, I see you. And Emmanuel Patrick from Niger State says, I have been silent since UK and other countries decided to ban Nigeria from coming into their country. This revenge mission that Nigeria plans to adopt is uncalled for and not necessary, because Nigeria will lose out more. I disagree with the way UK and other countries are trying to make Africa look like the cause of COVID in the first place. Nigeria, as the giant of Africa, should have been able to develop its own vaccine by now. Since that's not happened, I expect at least Nigeria, the giant of Africa, to vaccinate half of her population with the vaccine purchased by Nigeria or gifts from donor countries. It is our responsibility as citizens to take all the precautionary measures against the virus. COVID-19 is a mobile disease that carries from person to person. It's a fight as citizens to prevent its spread, says Patrick. And AGK Mississippi says, I read the article in the Daily Trust paper. It was a perfect one that captures the killing going on in Nigeria. Kudos to the editor at the Daily Trust. President Buhari and the presidency should sit up. He said, no justice, no peace. AGK. Okay. We'll go on a quick break, and then when we return from that break, we'll give our guest time to just wrap up the conversation. Edwin from Day Day, trying to see if I can read your message before commercial. Good afternoon, Mr. Jaja. Please, is it because our world has chosen to be a secular world that we have continued to shy away from the real lessons? COVID is meant to teach humanity a lesson. Pandemic, endemic, or what? Okay, it's time.
Exciting and stimulating talk. Stimulating talk. Nigeria Info. Your number one for talk. Number one for talk. Let's talk.
This is an announcement. The National Youth Council of African Democratic Congress cordially invites you to her Youth Summit, holding on Tuesday, 14th December at Ajuji Hotel, Abdul Salami Abubakar Road, Apo, Abuja, at 9 a.m. Expected speakers are Barrister Adewale Adebayo, Professor Kingsley Mohalo, and award recipients include Davido, Fowles, and Aisha Yusufu.
Okay, we need to go on to another break, but I'll give you time to respond to that. We'll wrap up. While we just have a minute, let's just quickly read some messages. You mean the Daily Trust wrote an editorial criticizing the APC government? Are you kidding me? Because the Daily Trust is among few of the Nigerian papers that have been very sympathetic in its reportage of the things going on with this government. It's good tidings that we can now write and paint the true picture of what has become the peaceful north of recent. And the editorial gives me hope. I commend them for that and hope and pray that they keep it up. As for the government's reaction, I'm not surprised, neither am I disappointed, because the current people in government have never accepted anything, no matter how truthful it is. However, they should just sign the electoral bill for us, though we know the next president from which party emerged has a Herculean task to deal with. And, Madam, okay, that's from KD Omawe, or KD, actually. Virtue from Aso Drive. Yes, Nigeria life has seemed to have lost value under the government. A president who chooses to attend.
Let's talk on 95.1.
Nigeria Info.
Abuja.
This year, can this book launch in Lagos on the day innocent citizens were killed in Sokoto and few other states? Doesn't look like we take life seriously. In fact, such a scene as some by some people has been insensitive. Nigeria is not only is becoming a crime scene of slaughter. All right, virtue. Just let's not paint more pictures of how terrible it is. Jaja, we've got 3 minutes. I'm sure you can do justice to this in 3 minutes.
Yes. Well, there was some mention of Ramaphosa in South Africa. Again, if we look at the man, let's face the facts. He's, I think, in his late 60s, approaching 70. He's definitely past 65. There is, of course, a higher risk of contracting COVID and falling ill from it the older you get, simply because your immune system, even when with the help of a vaccine, is confronted with such a virus that it has never encountered and didn't grow up with, then it has a problem. So age plays a significant role in the matter. Any form of comorbidities may also play a role. The fact that based on all the mutations that we have seen of the virus, some vaccines have actually reduced in their efficacy, meaning if they provided 94% protection before, now that protection may be down to 73%, 60-something percent, and that's simply as a result of the virus itself adapting more to you know, outsmart the vaccine and outsmart our immune systems. So, again, simply because somebody has been vaccinated does not mean they cannot catch COVID. However, the fact that they are vaccinated reduces the risk of them catching it, and even if they catch it, reduces the severity of the illness. What the scientific community right now is a bit concerned about is the fact that we don't know if that is still going to continue when Omicron becomes very widespread, more widespread than it is right now, because it is a mutated form of the virus. I will remind everybody here that we have different forms of hepatitis. I will remind everyone here that we also have different forms of AIDS, because that's what viruses do. If given the opportunity, they also, there's an argument as to whether they are living things or non-living things, but they have the survival instinct. So they try to adjust, they try to adapt to continue and sustain themselves. If we give them opportunity for that, that's exactly what they will do. So if Cyril Ramaphosa now happens to have corona, even though he was vaccinated, then that happens. How severe is it? I promise you one thing, I don't know what his condition is, but it would be significantly worse if he had not been vaccinated. That's what all the empirical data shows. So we need to not get tired. We need to stand against this fatigue. As much as we do not like it, as much as we are tired, as much as we are bored, as much as it irritates us and frustrates us, we have to wear our masks. We have to use our hand sanitizer. We have to wash our hands. We have to make sure that we do not just interact with people anyhow in a closed space, because the danger is still present, and the danger will remain until a significantly high percentage of our population is vaccinated.
All right. I think that is beautifully said. Daniel Jaja, thank you so much for your time on the roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
And maybe off air we'll discuss if you'll be around for Christmas enough to invite you for more of the shows happening next week. But thank you very much.
No, okay, Kim.
All right, we'll take a quick break now. We'll be back with more conversation. Please don't touch your dial. Stay with us.
To work in the midst of your daily activities, your Let's Talk station is here to keep you informed.
My people, no the only new clothes they make this season, sweeto. Na kolabo they make jollof, the full bottle, chicken, good day for sure. But waiting go complete the collabo this season. Now when you arrange the new Go TV super package, make laugh for full house for everybody.
Yes, sir. The new Go TV super package. Now the correct gift for this season, though. You get extra super channels like Africa Magic Urban, Kick, TL Novelas, WWE, Honey Channel, etc. Go, yeah, rush, go upgrade to Go TV super today with only 5,500 naira. Your family enjoy the super season. Go TV Super. Love it.